My name is Danielle Briggs Christensen, and to start things off on the right foot today, I wanted to do a little introduction. So here's some fun facts about me. I am a graduate student at Westminster College. Oh, right. I'm a graduate. Is it? Hello? Can you hear me? It's not live.
The technology just seems to.
It was a second ago.
No, that one doesn't work.
What about
that one?
Hello? Does this one work?
Yeah, that one works.
Okay, well, let's see if we can figure out how to get it over there, maybe?
Here.
I don't know. It's attached to the table. Do you work? Still not perfect. Great. Well, plus or minus 2 feet.
Okay, I'm gonna sit behind you.
I have to push buttons over there.
So, it's not really taped to the floor, except for right here. So, can we just drop it? Like, right through.
Me crawl around the floor so you cannot do it. I got this, we're good to go. And being a little bit of a bull in China shop.
Okay. And they say that I didn't moderate this panel. Come on, guys.
Awesome job. Okay. Wow, this feels more real now. Okay, let's start over. Hello, my name is Danielle Briggs Christensen, and I thought that to start things off on the right foot this morning, that I would give you all a little introduction. So, fun facts about me. I am a graduate student at Westminster College. I'm getting a master's in community leadership. Almost no one knows what that means, and I have a lot to get in, so if you want to know, ask me after. And I play the ukulele poorly. In my personal life, in conjunction with a half man, half ladybug, I raise a fox in a box and a superhero swinger. When I can break away from my very lucrative career as a fairy, I like to spend my free time coordinating the Utah Women Education Initiative. And so today, I would like to talk to you all about the state of Utah women in higher education. So, what is the state? Oh, no, wait. Yeah, higher education. I'd like to talk to you about the state of women in higher education and how each of the factors mentioned in the ridiculously long title of this session are connected. So what is the state of Utah women in higher education? I was unaware until just recently, a year and a half ago, but not that long ago, I was unaware, and a lot of the people I've talked to lately had no idea, and so I thought I would start this off with giving you all just some quick information. So, Utah women over the age of 25 are less likely to have a bachelor's degree than women nationally. Also, women over the age of 25 are less likely to be enrolled in college here in Utah. And yet, Utah men have an above average degree completion rate. They graduate at a markedly higher rate than Utah women. In fact, the difference between the Utah men and the Utah women has grown so large that Utah is now has the largest educational gender gap in the nation. It's more than double that of the next state. So before we go any further, I would like all of the women in the room to take a second to think about these questions. As women, what is expected of us? What do we expect of ourselves? What do we believe we can do? What do we believe we should do? And what happens in our lives that shapes and changes all of those things? And my last silently answered in your head, yet not completely rhetorical question, is why does it matter? Okay. So, no, I'm not telling you my story. That got cut. We'll see how much time we have at the end. So, why are so few Utah women graduating from college? This is a really difficult question to answer. As the situation is really unique. Generally, in other states that have low graduation rates for women, the men's graduation rates are pretty similarly low. And obviously, nationally, women have been out-degreeing men since 1982. So when I was trying to figure out why, because as soon as I found out about the gap, I wanted to know why. So I started looking. But there's not a lot of research done specifically on Utah women in higher education. There's some great research done by the Utah Women Education Initiative, shameless plug. And so we have that, which is more than we did 5 years ago. But we don't have, there's really not that much out there. So when I was trying to decide how I should figure this out, I wondered if looking at what led to women's rates rising nationally, if that would give me any hints or insights to what's going on now in Utah. So, changing expectations. As the percentage of women who graduated from college rose, so did the percentage of girls who expected that they would graduate from college. It kind of created this positive feedback loop that kept women's rates of graduation rising steadily climbing. And the graduation rates in Utah for women paralleled that. They paralleled the growth across the country. They were actually always higher than the national average until the 1990s. Let's see. So yeah, while the national rate for women rose and began to actually spike around the 90s, Utah's rates began to decline. They caused us to fall sharply below the national average, something we'd never done before. My worry is that now we're in a negative feedback loop. Because while Utah residents currently enter college at about the same rate as their national peers, Utah women are much more likely to drop out. So fewer Utah women graduating means there are fewer role models for Utah girls considering what they can and should do in the future. Okay, so let's look at a couple other things that led to the national rise, see if we can get any hints. So, young women's rising expectations for future employment encourage them to attend and complete college. Well, I loved what I read in this is a journal article. In the 1950s, for the first time, the possession of a college degree increased a woman's odds of marrying a college-educated husband with good earning potential, and everyone assumed that attendance rates would go up. The study that I read actually referred to this as the financial value of the MRS degree. But instead, numbers show that the 1950s were actually the low point for college attendance for women compared to men. It wasn't until the 1960s, as the beginning of real career opportunities for women began to emerge, that we see the gender gap narrow. Well, how does this relate to Utah? Can anyone guess? I would argue that Utah women, at least many Utah women, do not grow up expecting to have a career. In fact, according to some recent research by the Utah Women Education Initiative, shameless plug, while women in Utah believe that learning and knowledge and higher education are important and they intend to go to college, many do not feel that they need to graduate. It's not part of the experience. It's also shown that often Utah women do not see the correlation between getting a college degree and a benefit to their families. They all often do not understand that, more often than not, statistically, women are employed in wage-earning positions during certain parts of their life, either by choice or necessity, and that the ability to earn a living wage can make a significant difference to the quality of life for them and their families. And this is an interesting disconnect here, because this may come as a surprise to you, because it was a sure surprise to me. Utah has a higher than average women in the workplace. We have more women in the workplace than on average nationally. So there's a big discrepancy between what our young women think is going to happen and what is happening. Okay, there's one more major factor that led to women nationally graduating at higher rates that I believe is really relevant. Anybody guess? Here's a hint. Aren't we cute? I know. You're adorable. Don't think you know what I want to do. Thank you. As they married later, women could take college more seriously and form their identities before getting married and having a family. I found this really interesting because I knew that Utah women have significantly lower average age at first marriage and first birth. Nationally, women are more likely to marry for the first time around 3 years after women in Utah. And while the average age at which women give birth to their first child has increased in most states in the last 40 years, Utah's women still give birth at roughly around the same age as they did in 1970. Okay, so non-traditional. So that was some thoughts based on contrasting what's going on, what happened nationally to lead them to where they are and where we are today. But I wanted to look at what was going on with people who had similar graduation rates. And while I was searching for information on this, the term that kept my search terms kept popping up information about non-traditional college women. If you don't know, non-traditional college women is 25 years or older, and they are a population that generally has a lower than average graduation rate. The competing roles that most non-traditional college women fill, they tend to complicate their lives. Things like finding time to study and arranging babysitting and grocery shopping and setting up a part-time schedule that gets you from one place to another place. It's a lot of work. I know. And those competing demands are constantly seen when analyzing populations of women with lower graduation rates. In fact, recent research has identified that the reason women over the age of 25 are at a disadvantage is almost completely due to the fact that they're enrolled part-time. When they controlled for older women going back to school full-time who are childless, they have the same graduation rates as women enrolled in their 19, 20, 21. So this says to me that it's not the age, it's the responsibilities that create the lower graduation rates and define at risk. And after learning this, I had an aha moment. I seriously laughed for like 20 minutes last night. So, with Utah women marrying and starting families so much younger than their national peers, that meant that even traditionally college-age women in Utah have lived experiences that are not typical of most women their age across the nation. That instead, they have more in common with these non-traditional college women. Not just in the lower graduation rates, but in their everyday experiences. This light bulb to me, because why is this a big deal? Because they're, like I said, There's not a lot of research about what's going on specifically in Utah, but there is research about what's going on with non-traditional college women. And so I went looking. And yeah. Oh boy, did I find some great research. I've embraced my inner nerd since going back to school. Some things are so exciting. So, was combing the internet for related information, because that's what I do for fun, last fall, and I came across a journal article from 2009. And it blew my mind. The research was around predictors of student and career success among non-traditional college women, and they looked at which barriers predicted the success, like negatively, and which social supports helped the most, you know. And they were able to identify the three top predictors in each. And their findings, they totally spoke to my experience, my personal experience on so many levels. So FYI, the biggest the biggest barriers for non-traditional college women turned out to be discouragement from choosing non-traditional careers, multiple role conflict, and perceived conflict between children and career demands. And as I read the descriptions of all of those, I could plainly see each of them playing out in the lives of Utah college women that I know that are traditionally aged. The most obvious is multiple roles. We were just talking about this. The younger age of Utah women means they have these multiple roles that they deal with, struggling with their time. The various roles compete with their time and energy for being a wife, being a mother, being a student, being an employee. And in Utah, frequently, at church calling, they take a lot of time. And I think that sometimes we forget about that when we talk about this stuff. So that one is pretty obvious. The other two barriers are really related. So first, perceived conflict between children and career demands. So the research showed that just the anticipation of potential conflicts between children and managing a career could result in women failing to pursue prestigious non-traditional occupations because they were thought to be, I can't do that. It would be too hard or impossible. So what I thought was really interesting was the study of the non-traditional college women. They looked at both mothers and women without children. And for this one, it was way more strongly predictive for women who didn't have children. Which to me suggests that it's the worry, the prospect of future conflict stops way more women. They don't even try because they just assume it can't be done. And I have been there, so I felt that. Because this is definitely true when it comes to Utah women. Recent research focused on Utah college-aged women by the Utah Women Education Initiative, shameless plug. One of the most significant findings was the prevalent inability for women to envision a life of integration. That means they, Utah women could not imagine being simultaneously married, having children, and continuing college, even one class at a time. It was one of the most significant statistically findings that they had. And then the final barrier, discouragement from choosing non-traditional careers, which supports national research that educational plans and career expectations and career aspirations of daughters are strongly linked to parental support. And it is around these two barriers that I think we need to address the temple-sized elephant in the room. So yes, this may come as a shock, but according to census data, the majority of Utah residents are LDS. I know. Aren't you glad you're sitting down? It's more than double the portion of any other state, which I was not aware of. I thought Idaho was higher up there. Nevada too. But yeah, so and as the state's dominant religion, it can't help but shape the culture. And when we're talking about women and the LDS Church, we're talking about motherhood. And with the cultural value attached to being a stay-at-home mom in Utah, this is my own personal belief that I don't have data to back up yet. But I believe the category of non-traditional career is almost all-encompassing. If it's something you consider a career, that's pretty non-traditional. If it's not teaching or nursing or social work, is the three main areas that Utah women graduate in most frequently. The bulk of the women who graduate from college in Utah are in those three spheres, and they're very traditionally female and traditionally paid less. Though they are all amazing, hardworking, don't get me started on why women are paid less. Anyway, so if you search for a minute on Pinterest, you'll have no doubt that motherhood is a role that is highly valued in the LDS Church. When did the guy squeeze out the time? Anyway, but what's wrong with that? I mean, I'm a mother. I dang sure want to be valued. So, one of my favorite people, Dr. Jennifer Finlayson-Fife, said that the problem is that motherhood has become defined as what women are essentially, what they need to be, and what they need to be and do in order to demonstrate their value as women. I just love my place. Just so you guys know that I'm, you know, a real person, and you don't think I'm perfect all the time. Brene Brown says that imperfections are proof that we're all in this together. So I threw that in there for you guys. So, this is a problem because, one, whether due to choice or circumstance, not every woman will marry and have children. This is also a problem because it is not the simple state of being a mother that is valued, but motherhood defined around a framework of being exclusively nurturing, completely sacrificing, and ever-present. There's a quote by Richard G. Scott that I think really demonstrates both of these ideas. The blessing of nurturing children and caring for a husband often is intermingled with many routine tasks. But you do all of these things willingly because you are a woman. Anyway. So, many are quick to point out to me when I talk about this that there is also a lot spoken of within the LDS Church in regards to the value of education. And that is true. I could find more Pinteresty things for you. But this is another one of my personal feelings that does not yet have data, but I would argue that whether intentional or not, when we speak of motherhood like this, it can make education seem much less important and may also encourage women to enter into motherhood at a younger age to more quickly gain that which is of such value. It's a powerful combination when the decreased importance of education in the mindsets of Utah women is combined with the additional role of motherhood in their life. Because as we saw earlier, it makes it so much harder. Basically, I'm saying that when you are up at 2 a.m. trying to finish a chemistry assignment, it is just not motivating to think that this will make you a more well-rounded person. And the thought that it will make you a better mother when you're up at 2 a.m. and you know what you're going to be like the next day, it's really hard. And if that's our prime motivation, anyway, I have much more to discuss with you all. So I believe this is my thing. I think motherhood is highly valued, and that whether intentional or not, it can devalue other roles for women. I could talk your ear off about legitimate roles for women, and maybe I will another time. Come find me. But I just want to say one last thing, that my personal belief is that it would be really beneficial if there was more focus on the core belief that humanity's presence on this earth is to progress, to develop character and strength. For while I agree that parenthood can be an efficient method of learning humility, sacrifice, and love, I don't believe it's the only way. And so, because of this focus on motherhood, when I discuss the low graduation rates of Utah women, I frequently get pushback like this. What you gonna do? That's just what they want. Let them have it. But is that really what the LDS doctrine is? Because at the same time that we are pointing fingers at LDS culture for discouraging women to get a higher education, we can look back in Utah history and see that it wasn't always the case. Upon obtaining statehood, Utah was home to some of the nation's most progressive, educated, and productive women. We had the most female physicians and midwives of any state or territory in the nation when we became state. The women held prominent positions in education, medicine, business, publishing, and politics. The women of the LDS Church managed their own finances, programs, and organization structure. And many of our early General Relief Society presidents were working mothers. Two of my favorites were also both suffragettes. I call this Em and Amy. Emmeline B. Wells was the editor of the Exponent magazine, and she actually toured the country with Susan B. Anthony and Amy Brown Lyman. Was a social worker who trained at the birthplace of social work, Jane Addams Hull House. It was a time of incredible productivity.
Amy Brown Lyman.
Yes, she was seventh, I think. I think she was fifth and she was seventh. General Relief Society presence. So it was an incredibly productive time for the state, and we made great strides in the progress for women. Did you know, these are my favorite things to throw out random people now, is that the first female U.S. Senator was from Utah, Martha Hughes Cannon, new hero, her and Emmeline. Oh, if I could have dinner with those two. Yes, she was the first state senator, female state senator ever. She was from Utah, and she won the election despite the fact that her husband was on the ballot.
She beat her husband.
And then she went on to be reelected. She was a two-term senator. And in her second term, she gave birth. She's amazing. And there are so many stories of remarkable women in Utah's past. And from what I've seen looking into the history, it's the combination of adequate support logistically and cultural encouragement that empowered the women of that age. The hands-on support available to this woman, to the women of that time, was remarkable for the nation. While it is personally difficult for me to acknowledge a positive in the polygamy practice, I have issues, I'm working on them, it did create a kind of shared parenting that was unheard of at the time. And combined with the community infrastructure that was in place, it enabled a great degree of independence for these women, and they worked together to do some really amazing things. Another thing, I will talk your ear off if you come find me. But I believe that without that, Utah women would not have been able to be involved with that many with as many opportunities as they had. However, without the cultural approval of the community, I do not believe that such large numbers would have sought out those opportunities in the first place. It took both factors to create this climate of progress for women. And I believe we need both that kind of support and encouragement again today. I say, this time, let's do it without marrying each other's husbands. So then what? If we're not going to marry each other's husbands, then what should we do? Well, luckily, I have an idea. Oh, I should have put my label on that. Next time. I have an idea about that. So the thing is, as I read that research on barriers and supports for non-traditional college women, after I saw the barriers and made those connections, the next section was the social supports. And when I saw those, I started to get really excited. You see, I had found a way to get those social supports without even realizing how important they were until I read it in there. As I read their findings, I realized that that very thing, their research, was providing me with a way to articulate why a piece of my life had such a powerful impact. I know you're asking, what was this powerful, impactful thing? Well, it was a Facebook group. Yes, a Facebook group. And I'm betting I am not the only one in here that appreciates the value of these online spaces. Raise your like thumb if you're in an online community. Thank you, my people. And this group, I'm in a lot of online communities, but this one was specifically focused on higher education, and what I was reading was about non-traditional college women, so they went together. Though a number of the online communities I'm in have the things I'm about to tell you about and are amazing spaces. So this group had been created without the information in this research, but reading the specifics around the social supports most predictive of success, I could not help but see that this was exactly what this group was providing to me. So what are these social supports and where exactly do I get them? I thought you'd better ask. So, first the supports. Let's see, well, the names the study gave, a couple of them were reassurance of worth and social integration, that I think are the most easily identifiable in the Facebook group. The research had also concluded that having these kinds of social supports more than made up for the barriers, which is really encouraging. But it also made me pause. For while I rejoice in my luck that I stumbled across into these relationships for myself, I also recognized that current educational trends and cultural values in Utah suggest that finding a network of women who share common interests and goals related to graduating from college, social integration, could prove to be more challenging for Utah women, for Utah college women, just because the just sheer numbers, the small percentage of women who were not only in college, but were in college interested in graduating, and even if you were interested in a career past that, the circle gets smaller and smaller, and we live in these disconnected lives, that it's so hard to find your people. And those kind of relationships, I know from research, they're important. And by extension, those relationships in which women feel that their skills and competence when it comes to their academic and vocational areas are recognized and valued, which is reassurance of worth. And having that kind of relationship may be more rare for Utah women. You know, I'm going off anecdotal here for right now, but I know that no one asks me about my graduate school classes. Nobody asks me about my new opportunity. They ask me about the kids. No one asks my sister about her cool career. They ask her when she's getting married. And so I just think that I do not want to come off like I am knocking motherhood, because I love being a mom. I love my children. I just think that we could spread it out a little bit, you know? Because yeah, there's so much to value in the women that I have met that it seems a shame not to focus on more than just one section. But yes, and perhaps this is why, as a Utah woman returning to school, this time last year, I was a stay-at-home mom for 7 years. I've been about to start my graduate program. I'm totally freaking out. It's kind of new. But yes, so I was impacted by the women in this group. So this group is comprised of Mormon feminists who support each other in higher education. Some are pursuing associate's degrees, while others are working on PhDs, while others are still working to get enrolled in programs or decide which programs they should get enrolled in. Majors vary from English to education to science, occupational therapy and nursing and math and everything in between. We have a linguistic in London. She probably could have said that, but I couldn't. Let's see. So, like, the group was started without intentionally operating on that research. I've come to see a lot of things that we've done just organically that are really powerful. So I believe that our group operates from a strengths-focused, assets-based approach, which is stuff that I talk about in my school classes and many people don't. And day-to-day conversation. So here's an example. We started off with lots of people were like, oh, I need help with editing this paper. Oh, have you heard this thing? And we created this help wanted section. And it would just sit there. And so we changed it a couple months into a help offered section. And everyone went in there and put their name and what they were good at and what they were willing to help out with. My name is Erin Jensen, and I'm amazing at editing things, and I will say yes no matter what. She is. She's amazing. And she loves helping people. And so whenever somebody needed help, I mean, you could still post in the group and say, hey, I needed help. But if you wanted to go directly to someone who offered to help, then you could. You could PM them, and there was no obligation. You know, it's not like putting your name in there meant that you had to drop whatever you're doing. It's totally very, we love boundaries. To say, hey, I can't right now. But so often, so many people would say yes. I have taken advantage of the nice proofreading and editing people. There's a couple of people in this room who've saved me a couple of times. You know who you are. And it's really just this amazing thing now. I go in there and I scroll down and I look at the names, the list of names and names and names of women. Because they have to own what they're good at to put it out there. And that's so hard for us to do. But it's okay if we're helping people. So I just love that we did that. And I totally see that as a specific kind of strategy, but we were just trying to find something that worked because we all needed help. We instinctively felt that every group member had the ability to fill each other's needs. And we work to identify the assets in each other and to facilitate that process. And we built a community around each other. Whenever I talk about this group, which is all the time, I talk about the fact that I think the reason it works so well is that it's still pretty small. We have, I think, 273 people listed. I'm really curious how many are workers. Watch out, group members. There's a survey coming. But because it's small, because it's not 4,000 like some other groups 1,000. Like, there's lots. Because it's so small, we have real connections. We get to know each other. And I think people feel safer. You know, you get that sense of vulnerability. You can put yourself out there. I fall apart on that page all the time. I fall apart. And it's amazing to have a space where I can do that. And where I can see other women do it and then pick themselves up and get back out there. I just recently have been realizing the power of having so many examples of women doing what I'm doing in my life. So we built a community around each other. Every day we create a place where women can support each other through this journey. We share small wins and big accomplishments, as well as petty venting and major struggles. We offer concrete, practical help with writing papers, finding academic resources. And it's a place to, you know, it's a place where we can fall apart and put ourselves back together, as well as let our light shine without worry that someone's going to be offended or think badly of us. So I went through a bunch of the posts and I took some screenshots to share with you guys. I got everybody's permission. It's on this list. And I'm going to kind of connect them to the supports and things like that. These are the social integration people in your life with similar academic interests and work and goals. So I love this one. I know I'm not the only one struggling to get through this. I just have to want to do it. I love down here, you can do it! I want to take summer classes. I'm like, am I crazy? You can just put it out there and ask people who might have experience. I love this one. I witnessed something truly beautiful today. I won't read it to you all, it was just, how often do we get to the chance to talk about things like this that we really care about? Because I still feel choked up about it. I can't get over it. I was surrounded by people who loved to learn, read, and write. Education is so beautiful. So tell me about your writing process. Do you outline? Do you paint? You know? I said there's 19 more comments on that. There's skills to be recognized and valued by people in life. So reassurance of worth. Love this one. I love all these, that's why I picked them. I applied last week after 3 weeks of stewing about it because I really wanted the position and I'm terrified of putting myself out there, and I got it. And down here, this is her again. Thank you, I was so afraid of rejection and failure, recovering perfectionist. Hopefully, I struggle to actually try for these. When you know you have someplace to go, to brag or to share excitement, it makes a big difference. I like this. Does this sentence make even a little bit of sense? Help. I'm just like, yes, thank you. That's what I was looking for. I was accepted. And she says, makes me feel so good knowing you awesome ladies will be out there to support college girls in the world. Because there's another one down there. Who has two thumbs and got a 97 on us? And most of these had tons more, but I couldn't fit it on. I love this. Just a post about me being proud of me. 2 years ago, I'm going to read this one, I started school as a single mom of four. Tomorrow, I am being inducted into Kappa Delta Pi. I have a 4.0 GPA and have worked very hard. So tomorrow, I will officially be a member of KDP. Tonight, I'm going to see my two oldest girls be inducted into the junior high and the high school. That is a definition of awesome. I think she felt valued. Encouragement to pursue careers. I switched the discouragement from non-traditional careers, positive, and like I said, if it's a career, there's a good chance that's not traditional. Support needed. She made this big change, and her friend told her, being flighty. I think it's because she was moving away from this friend, and her mentor didn't think so. Here, has a man ever been called flighty? I didn't put a box in. Yes, PhD program. This one, I'm going to move because that had specifics I forgot too. But I can tell you the story. She was at a college, and there was an assistant dean from the college there, and they were doing a big project together with a bunch of other people. And just in the process of like working, he turned to her and was like, you know, you're a stay-at-home mom. Your kids are really going to benefit from your degree. And he just assumed. And I love at the end, she said that she hoped the disgust was not evident on her face. And one of the first comments was, I hope the disgust was evident on your face. And one thing that all of these posts have in common is that they are us seeing women with families and schools and careers all at the same time. And that is so powerful to have that example. It has meant the world to me. And if you think back, I mentioned one of the major findings from the Utah Women Education Initiative was this failure to envision a life of integration. Not being able to picture in your mind what it would be like to do both. It is a major barrier for Utah college women. And I don't have that problem. Less than a week left of my first semester back after a 5-year break. I'm still a freshman, but I learned so much. I love this one because this is the same person, and I highlighted the dates because this is a week apart. So the first one, I have 3 huge projects and papers due in the next 10 days, schedule complete with arranged childcare to get it all done, and naturally, now is the time my 2-year-old gets recurring high fever, congestion, nasty cough. School is hard, motherhood is hard. Some days I think I must have been crazy to ever think I could handle both at the same time. Like a week later, just finished and submitted the second of my 3 papers. 1 monster paper and 2 video presentations to go. Just keep swimming, everybody. We've so got this. When I feel like I can't handle it, I know that's not true. Because I have handled it, and I've seen them handle it, and I have helped them as many times as they have helped me. And that's what I love about our community, is like, it's not hierarchical. Like, we're all leaders in that group. And we are all people who are helped. So I'm gonna end there. So we have 5 minutes if anybody has any questions.
I just wanted to say thank you for doing this. I am a mother and a college student, and my husband is also in the military, and so I'm very well acquainted with kind of the conflicting roles that she was talking about. And I think one of the screenshots she didn't get to was me talking about the conflict between some of these roles, and I could have written that one right there. One of the issues that I think tends to come up a lot is this issue of childcare. You know, like for me, I had finals week starting and my husband was out of town with the military and my kids got sick and couldn't go to daycare. Have you seen, like, do you have any suggestions on how to like integrate, how to find ways to get backup plans for that type of childcare situation?
So I'm starting my my capstone project in the fall, which is the big dissertation type thing that I would do to get my master's. And one of the things I'm going to be researching is how we can translate this kind of community into real life support. And I think that it's all about building community so you have those backup people, because somebody out there needs you as much as you need them. And I think that's what's so great about my vision of women, is that we have all these needs, but when you put us together, we're not a pile of needs. We're like puzzle pieces that fill each other in. And this is my hope for humanity in the future, is that we can utilize better online communities to find the women we need, both across the world and next door. Because when do we have a chance to really connect with the people in our lives we walk past? And so my advice is to see if there's a local Facebook group you can join, say hi to people. It's hard, but if you can put yourself out there, there's a woman out there who needs you. And I just want to say, if I have one piece of advice that everybody can take from this to start implementing something in your daily life, is this, in this integrated life that is so hard, because I think so many of us that live integrated lives, we don't talk about it. You know, it's not the pictures we post on Instagram. It's not the stories we complain about, because it feels like it doesn't fit in. But I bet you anything, there's somebody else in that group feeling the same way. And if you currently, you know, aren't in the, we all have an integrated life, but point out the women who look, hey, Susie, she does this, isn't that cool? Or, hey, what do you do? Don't assume that women don't have, you know, other things. Again, not against motherhood, just options. And that's what I think education is so important, because I mean, I really think that the decline in graduation rates of Utah college women is a symptom. It's not the problem. It's a symptom of a larger problem that has to do with how we view leadership and roles for women. But I think that education is a linchpin. It's a tipping point, because not only does having that piece of paper give you so many opportunities, the process you go through to get that piece of paper opens up worlds. So there's 2 more minutes if anybody has, I think that's what it is. 3. Otherwise, I can show you, I unplugged it, I don't know. Does anybody have a question? This is another way that I am suggesting people try to, my goal with the Utah Women Education Initiative is we don't have a lot of funding. It's me, I work 15 hours a week. I'm supposed to only work 15 hours a week. And so we thought, what could we do given the research that we have? And, you know, did I mention that one of our findings was that women feel like it's their duty to drop out of school? It's not just that if it gets too hard, they drop out. So many women feel like they should, that spending the money and time away from their families on an education is selfish or wasted, because what am I going to do with it? And so I think the number one thing that we can do is show these examples of integrated life, to talk about why it's important, why, and not just, you know, I mean, I definitely want to hear about why you do what you do and why you love what you do, but also your struggles and what was hard and why you kept going anyway and how you get past it. Because if we act like it's all rainbows and roses over here and they get there, but yeah, so. This is me as a stay-at-home, as a mother in grad school. I had way too much stuff to carry to class, and I realized I had my umbrella stroller with me. And I proudly pushed that thing all the way into my class, and all my classmates were like, awesome, I wish I had one of those. This is me writing a paper on multiple role conflict of being a mother and a student while taking care of children. I said, it's a method of acting form of research. My life is meta. Yes.
What's your opinion about the change in missionary aid? What do you think that'll do
while I like seeing any move to parity and equality, it worries me a lot. I guess we'll have to see when they come back if they feel empowered to take further steps in their lives, or if they just feel ready to, like, I did that, time to move on. We'll have to see, but it makes me nervous. Okay, it looks like we're out of time. Oh, there's me writing papers at the Gateway. They have Wi-Fi. So does the Discovery, the Aquarium. But yeah, thank you so much.